wonderful to be together in the house of the Lord. We are grateful that you are here today. And we are going to share a few announcements and then take time, as we always do, for praises and prayer requests, and then we'll enter into worship. This is the beginning of Holy Week. Most of you have seen the schedule that's been published in the bulletin. There's some on the table in the narthex, but each night for this coming week, we will be gathering together to study a particular scripture that's appropriate for the journey of Christ last week as he entered Jerusalem and then ended the week at his crucifixion, but then his resurrection. So we would love to have you come to as many as possible to study that scripture. I would encourage you to read the scripture for that day a couple times as you can. And then we're going to meet in different people's homes. So it'll be a great time of fellowship. On Tuesday, we're blessed to be able to go up to the Brills. And it's a beautiful setting, but it is on a fairly curvy road. So if you would like any assistance in going up there, we are meeting at the Fresh Market parking lot at the corner of Old Forest Road and Lakeside Drive, and we'll leave there together. So if you'd like to either carpool or caravan, we'll do that. All the others, you're on your own to get there because they're all local places. Also, the ladies are hanging clothes at the Clothing Connection this Friday at 10 a.m. So if you need any more information, you can see Carolyn. Then next Sunday is Easter Sunday, of course. We will have our sunrise service at 7 a.m. It is rain or shine. We don't stand out in the rain if it is raining. We come inside, but we are meeting at 7 a.m. For our Easter sunrise service. And then during the morning worship, we will flower the cross. And if you've done that, you know how meaningful that is to see an old rugged cross turn into a real a thing of beauty. For it's truly the place of our salvation. Also on Friday, we're having our tenebrae, which just means darkness service. And I still need a couple readers. So if you think you're going to be here Friday night and you would like to read, let me know today. And I'll give you the readers, your reading for that service. Any other announcements? All right, let's go to prayer requests. It's not in the bulletin, if you'll see the prayer request list, because it happened afterward, the printing. But let's keep Werner Van Klapdirk in our prayers. He did have a heart attack, but both times, early around 4:30 and then in the morning, and then later around 11 after his surgery, he looked great all around. So he's feeling well. The Lord was with him. It was on the widowmaker artery, but when God is preserving life, there's nothing too great or impossible for him. So Werner's doing well. Kathy's doing well. Hopefully they'll come home. He'll come home on Monday, but let's keep Werner and Kathy in our prayers. Any other items for praise or prayer requests that you'd like to lift up? I would like to give an opportunity. David and Yvette shared with us a couple weeks ago about a neighbor of theirs that unfortunately lost his home, all his belongings in fire. So we started lifting him up in prayer and have tried to help him. And Larry Gilley asked if he could share a few words with us. So Larry, you can either do it from there or you can come forward, whichever you're more comfortable with, sir.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My name is Larry Gilley, and I'm very fortunate for many reasons to be in the house of God this morning is the main thing. There are many, many houses of God, one on every corner. It makes no difference what they're talking about if you've got Jesus in your heart. Amen. I'm reminded in the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul was in Athens debating, arguing, fussing with the Athenians. And one of them spoke up and said, "What will this babbler say?" Now, Paul was no babbler, and I'm going to try not to be one. But I would like to take a few moments to thank each and every one of you. You know, the main thing that stood out was the generosity of helping me. And the next thing was that we're strangers. The majority of you in this room, I've never met. We don't know one another. And yet, you helped me from afar. That blows me away. That's unheard of in a lot of people's lives. Amazing that you would help a stranger. No strings attached. Fantastic. And I know the answer why you did it. It's because you have the love of God Almighty in your heart. There's no other answer for that. None. And I have it too. If you have the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, if you will, in your heart, you cannot deny it. You can act like it, you can make up words, but once you know the truth, you can never get rid of it. It's almost like poison ivy. Amen? You can't wash it off easily. And I thank you, good people, so much. I'd like to close with this comment. I was given a wonderful note with the fantastic, generous gift I was given from you people. Thank you. And the last line in the note said, "May God be close to you." And this stood out at me very strong. The last few words said, "During this change." Isn't that sweet? Not a big hoopla about this or that, but this change. None of us like change unless we know it's good. But a change that is shocking, you don't want nothing to do with. Again, the love of God will help all of us, as the writer gave the note to me through the change. And I thank y'all very much for helping me through this change in my life. God bless you.
Amen, Larry. That old saying is true, that strangers are just brothers and sisters we haven't met yet. So we're grateful to have met you, and you'll continue to be in our prayers, and we're going to continue to assist you any way we can. Sounds like you might have a preacher's sermon in you, so we might call on you again. So maybe you can get your neighbor to do a solo, David.
If I might share this.
Yes, sir.
And it's just a fact. I mean, if you start apologizing for things that you've done in your life when you think they're good, then you're wasting time. But I pastored a church in Gladys, Virginia, a little while ago, for a little over a year. And the Lord has blessed me. And you were quoting Job this morning when we first met. Job also says that the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think we've all experienced that.
Amen. He is a God that kills and makes alive. And that's the Easter message, that even through crucifixion, a life, a new life that we couldn't experience unless we went through the path of crucifixion. So appreciate you being here, brother. Any other items for praise, prayer? Any concern? Yes.
Helen, as always, talked to Dave for about an hour, over an hour actually, yesterday. And they're doing well, looking forward to getting back to Virginia. Everything is really looking up for them. The cancer is gone, basically.
Praise God.
So he's just... He said, when I get home, he said, I'll get back to my own house. And he says, I'm not going to leave for a month. You know, so we're looking forward to them coming back.
Amen.
Again.
Let's continue to keep Helen Kinzer in our prayers. Any others? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this house. Like we read in your word, your name is a strong tower, and the wise run to it for safety. And we come here because there is no grace anywhere else. We come here because it's only as we find you expressed through your word that we find the strength and the comfort and the help we need. You are the one who has the words of life. And we come to hear those words and to remind each. We're all just sojourners on this path. A path that can be very difficult and mean at times. But we are here simply walking each other home, reminding us of what we already know and sometimes forget in the distractedness of life. So we're grateful for brothers and sisters that remind us by their presence, by their comments, by their thoughts and prayers. We need one another, Lord. And together we come here because we need you. And we thank you for your promise that you have called us to cast our cares upon you, for we know you care for us. So we lift up these items today. We thank you for Larry, for protecting his life. We thank you for just his spirit and commitment to you. We thank you for his trust in knowing that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So we just pray that you'll continue to keep his excitement higher than the frustration, excitement of how you're working in a new way. We thank you that we can meet him to share the same faith. We pray that you would be with Werner. Thank you that your hand was on him, that it just went so swimmingly yesterday. We thank you that Kathy had a peace and a strength that was able to uphold her and just continue to do that. Be with them as he is hopefully discharged on Monday. We thank you for the good word again regarding Helen. We thank you that she is free, delivered and healed by the great physician. And I pray that you'd be with Davy and she as they return home. We thank you for the comfort of their being together. We thank you for all those that we care about. We lift up those that come to our mind at this time. We pray your special blessings upon them. And as we begin this Holy Week, much like your Son did more than 2,000 years ago, to enter into that path that would take him to the cross. But our faith is to the cross and beyond as he was resurrected. And we too now have that resurrected power in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So uphold us and may we see you today. And it's only in your name we pray. Amen. You'll look with me in front of the bulletin. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
"Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." If you look with me to the insert, you'll notice, because this is Palm Sunday, after the call to worship, we will have a processional reading from John's Gospel before the hymn, and then during the hymn, like they did on that first Palm Sunday, would encourage you to wave your palms with as much vim and vigor as you'd like. And if you don't have palms, there are plenty in the narthex. Make sure you get one before our first hymn. Let's call each to worship using a portion of Psalm 118 by whole verse. "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me and have become my salvation.
The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna! Lord, Hosanna! Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shined upon us. Form a procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever.
Gospel reading is John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that they are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him."
Thank you.
reading today is Isaiah 54:9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This ends the first reading.
Thank you.
God, you have sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all of humanity should follow the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And as children of God, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second lesson is from Philippians 2, 5-11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the second reading.
Thank you. both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 21. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.' And when Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, whenever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.' Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?' He said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. Grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be yours today. You may be surprised, though most of you know me well enough, to know that while I have, and hopefully they're fairly good, and I draw upon every day, people skills, at heart, I'm a real introvert. I like being alone. And following that, one of the other ways we can divide people is I really don't enjoy talking. Now, I do it because no one wants to show up and hear a preacher say nothing. Well, maybe you do, but you don't have that option. But, I mean, I talk for a living, but when I'm not teaching or preaching, when I'm driving an automobile, when I'm reading a book, when I'm just sort of going about life, I'm not what you would call a talker. I was reading an interesting article this past week about talking. And they were talking about, or it was describing, a phenomenon called conversational disappointment. And what they talked in this article, and I can share it with you if you're interested, I found it just profoundly interesting, is that most people registered very high conversational disappointment, meaning they just didn't enjoy the conversation. They pointed out that it tended to show that most people pair up in conversation with people that are not on the same wavelength as whether liking to talk. I'm just curious, how many of you like to talk? Raise your hand. Some of you are lying. How many of you don't like to talk? How many of you have ever been in conversation with someone and think they missed a lot of opportunities where this conversation could have ended? And they kept going and going and going. And it reported in this article that only 2% of all conversations ended at the agreed upon point for both people. The scripture is full of words. But it's not just full of words, it's full of, and I'm going to give you what sounds like a fancy word, but you know it. It's full of what we call antiphony. The Psalms in particular is full of a tiphony, which is a way of saying responsive reading, like when we do the reading, and you'll see this, and sometimes you see it as you read in the Psalms or the wisdom literature. It's almost like multiple voices are going back and forth. And we see this in this passage this morning, this conversation that's equally paired going back and forth. If you look in the Psalm 18, you can just use the insert or you can look in your own scripture. Psalm 118 is the final of the six Hallel or praise psalms, the psalms that would be sung by Jews at Passover. There were four glasses of wine that would be drunk at every Passover celebration. And the Hallel songs are sung between the third and fourth goblet of wine. Thursday, if you come to the Bible study, we're going to look at Jesus drank three glasses of wine, sang the Hallel songs, and you remember that prophecy where he said, "I won't drink again until you see me coming in the kingdom." We're going to talk about that fourth cup, but that's just a preview for Thursday night. But Psalm 118, in the portion we read, is a conversation about God doing it all. God did it all. And before we look at the text, I want to give us three word pictures to have sort of an understanding before we go to the text, and I think it'll help us understand. The first would be a meal. All of us have been invited over to someone's home for dinner. What would you think in my word picture here if you invited me over to dinner and Sherry and I arrived, we're ready, you've been working in the kitchen, and I walk in and I take off my coat and I go into the kitchen, open the refrigerator and start looking for what I want to fix, and I go about preparing my own meal. You would be somewhat incensed after the shock. In fact, I know someone that won't even got mad at me many years ago for putting pepper on the food because their understanding was they had prepared it, seasoned the way they wanted it to be, and who was I to monkey with the meal? Fortunately, that's not a part anymore. So I want you to have this meal. If you invited me over to eat, I'm coming to receive. I'm not coming to prepare the meal. The same way, I want to bring it to another word picture of a game. Some of you are watching the Final Four or the March Madness. If I went into the locker room after a game is over, and I'm in a victorious locker room, and I immediately started berating the team, lecturing them on the things that they did wrong, and how they weren't perfect, and how they could have done better, what would be the response I would get from this very victorious team who just wants to celebrate? The final word picture is a model. I hate models. I mean, ones that you put together. I don't know if any of you put models together as kids. I've never put, growing up, a model together in my life. I don't have the patience for it. And about 10 or so years ago, one of our members at the time, a delightful man who was excellent when it came to putting models together, Calvin Ashwell, thought I would like having a model of the tabernacle. And I would love to have a model of the tabernacle. I didn't want a kit that had me to put together this model of a tabernacle. So he gave me this beautiful little kit with a young boy, sort of implying if you're 8 years old or older, you'd have the sense to do it. And it had the box. And I took it home. I thanked him. And months went, and I didn't put it together. I had no intention to put it together. But every time I'd see Calvin and you know he had a way of persisting, he would ask me. And I never outright lied to him, but I wasn't completely forthcoming about putting that model together. Well, I knew it was coming to the point it was going to hit the fan, so I needed to put that model together. And I never remember getting the model all on the dining room table, putting on some music to help me endure the pain, getting all my equipment, putting the picture up, and I forgot to tell you, on the box it said, finish in under an hour. So I started out working, putting together this gift that had been given to me, but a gift that I had to do. It was up to me to make sure it was done right. And I was uncomfortable. And I was nervous. And I knew I was messing up. And the more frantic I got about it, the more I probably got sloppy. And I'd look at my clock, and the closer we got to that under 1 hour, and then when we passed that and I wasn't finished, and I realized I'm not as good as others. What's wrong with me? Even that 8-year-old on the cover can do it under an hour. 3.5 hours later, with a model that was, when I showed it to Calvin, he just sort of went, So, brothers and sisters, the bottom line from these stories and what we see in Psalm 118, Christianity is not a project. Our salvation is not a gift like that model that it was up to me to put together. It is God's work. It's God's victory. It's God's gift. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that He did. And in that picture of the meal, it's not my place to bring about what's being eaten. It's my place to say thank you and to consume the gift that's given to me. In the game, it's not my place to correct and say how they should have or could have. It's my place to celebrate the victory with them. And in the model, we're not given a model that we have to put together. And so many of us as a church think that that's what Christianity is. God gives us the initial gift, but then it's up to us to put it together. And we sweat, and we get anxious, and we compare ourselves to others who seem to be putting their model together a lot quicker and neater than we do. Then we have the conversation of Psalm 118 that sets us straight. If you'll look with me, we'll see that the first thing that we see in Psalm 18 is this call to open. Open the gates unto me, it says. We are opening these gates. In the Old Testament, the gate was the place where atonement was given. So they're saying we have atonement at this gate. And we go in, if you'll allow me to find it in the scripture, in Psalm 118, if you look with me in verse 21, it says, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is something He has done. This is the Lord's work. He has done it. I want to point out a change between 21 and 22. In verse 21, it's in the first person singular. One person is saying. And when we come, if you allow me to personalize it to church, we come in one real way as individuals who have all been given the gift of salvation. We are redeemed as a whole, but we are also redeemed individually. And we come, and like the psalmist, the first thing we should say is, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I was talking to a good friend of mine who's also my mechanic this past week. He's been having troubles with his knees. And he says, it's a wonderful gift. And Jimmy showed me how he does it. He said, you know, it forces me to get out of bed in a certain way. I can't just bounce out of bed. And he showed me he sort of crawled out of bed, and he naturally landed on his knees. And he said,
He thought to himself several months ago, and he said to the Lord, well, if I'm going to start on my knees, I'm going to pray. So he goes from bed to his knees, and he says sometimes it's 15 or 20 minutes before he gets up. And that all he does is thank God for all his blessings. And the first thing we do when we come into the gate is we sing praise from the beginning to the end. But then we see in verse 22, it's in the first person plural. It's not all about me and my personal salvation. I come together as a redeemed individual, but now we are with everyone and we're confessing this cornerstone, this keystone, that's the most important thing. The only reason we are here is Jesus Christ. If we're here for any other reason, we don't understand the purpose of our gathering. You're really nice people. And I really like each one of you. And you're fun, and we laugh, and we have a great time, and we help others, and we hear great music and half-decent sermons, and we have fellowship meals. We're really a lot of nice people. But there's only one person that is the reason that we gather. And that one person is the keystone that holds it all together. And we come together and we see over and over these words that talk about it's not our work. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our sight. We like it. We say thank you, but we're not doing it. This is the day that the Lord has made. You didn't create your day. In fact, if you're like me, the days you try to create go really south real quickly. The Lord creates a day. We simply rejoice. Save us, we pray. Verse 25. Save us. Give us success. And then in verse 26, you see what we say at every communion service. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Augustine said, cursed is the one who comes in his own name. But we don't come in our own name. We come in his name. And then we see in verse 28 that we bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. And he has made his light to shine upon us. Verse 28, you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. You alone are my God. You alone are good. And the reason why you alone are my God is a passage of Psalm 118 we didn't read. If you have your scripture, look back to verse 6. If not, listen to me. This is the reason why we only praise God. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is on my side as my helper. I will look in triumph on those who hate me. In other words, the Lord is the only reliable helper. The Lord is the only one that we can count on. We've been disappointed many times. We're constantly disappointed with ourselves, with others, with people, with situations. We live in a sin-torn world, but we come together, praise him alone, for he is the only one who is completely reliable. And it's because of his work that we endure. That word, and I'll close with this at the end, his mercy endures forever. And you know the word mercy is that wonderful word, hesed, which is covenantal love. He is committed to you. I don't know if you ever think about this, but God Almighty would have to violate his own character to be unfaithful to any one of you. He would have to, if you'll allow me to say it, stop being God before he would not uphold you and support you and love you and be faithful to you, because he has bound himself in covenantal love. In other words, you're not only golden, you're golden forever and ever. Just don't forget who did it. It's his work. I want to close with a story that all of you have heard me tell. It's one of my favorite stories. It's a true story. In fact, it was an ill-fated aircraft, a helium balloon, Zeppelin, that was sort of jinxed from the beginning. On this Tuesday, we'll celebrate the day that it finally sunk in the Atlantic Ocean. But it had many failings before that. You can Google this. You can actually see pictures of it. It was christened the USS Akron because it was made in Akron, Ohio. And it was the largest at the time Zeppelin. It was about 785 feet long, which is quite a big airship. And it was in San Diego in May the 11th, 1932. And all of a sudden, the wind started to lift this humongous airship up. And the USS Akron broke loose of its moorings. And what you can read in articles and what you can see in pictures, that most of the sailors let go of the ropes pretty quickly. Some held on for a while, and three or four fell from about 15 or 20 feet and had broken bones and whatnot. Three others were carried much further aloft. Two of them plunged to their death because eventually their strength gave out. They tried their best to hold on, but after a time, they couldn't hold on any longer, and they fell to their death. There was one apprentice seaman, a C.M., they called him Bud Cowart, and he went up, and he was on for hours before they could bring the USS Akron back to ground. And they were just amazed at this man's ability to hold on when everyone else couldn't hold on that long. When he was being interviewed afterward, Seaman Coward, when he was asked, "How did you find so much strength to hold on?" He said, "You've got it wrong. I wasn't holding on. I tied the rope around me. It was holding me." Brothers and sisters, the good news of the gospel, the way God works, you're not holding on to Him. He's holding on to you. And He's not lost one yet. And you won't be the first. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our joy and destiny to praise you, Lord God, for in wondrous love you cast stars into space, and in meek obedience your sons surrendered to cruel nails. With loving kindness, you called your people in Abraham, and in covenant with Moses, you bound up your life in theirs. Through exile, you stayed close to them, and in Jesus, you came among them, bearing the fullness of grace and truth. Your son Jesus faced rejection, cruelty, and death, yet in resurrection, you exalted him, and in sending your spirit, you shed glory on all people. And so we rejoice with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, singing the song of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might,
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna is our cry, blessed one. Your son comes on a donkey in your name. As Jesus entered Jerusalem to bear our sorrows and suffer for our sins, enter our hearts and confront our waywardness today. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may be your son's crucified and risen body, given for the world. Send your Spirit upon this bread, that it may be for us the very body of Christ, and upon this wine, that it may be for us the very blood of Christ. For who at supper with his disciples, he took bread, gave you thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Humble God, your Son did not exploit his status, but emptied himself. Pour out your Spirit on all who are exploited in world or church, on all who are humbled by state or employer or family member, on all who are emptied of hope, faith, or love, as you highly exalted your Son who had become a slave, highly exalt your children who suffer for righteousness, or grieve those they have cherished, or bend the knee to one who does not honor them. Fill the earth with your justice and peace, until every heart shall sing and every tongue confess that you are the joy of their desiring, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God in all ages and forevermore.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's one other place in the psalm predominantly that wonderful word forever is used. As we heard today, this psalm ended, "His mercy endures forever." That other psalm are the very familiar words of the 23rd psalm. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." We're not pursuing them, they're pursuing us. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The verse immediately preceding that promise said, "I will prepare a table for you in the midst of all your difficulties, in the midst of circumstances that are evil, in the midst of enemies that surround us, in the midst, I will be there and offer you my very being." On that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he established this gift. And because it's his table, we extend the invitation to all his children, all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth, are invited to come and to receive his gift, his work done for us, a mercy that'll endure forever. We will have Sister Katie will be up here to offer you prayer if you'd like to join with someone in prayer. Also, there are cards on the table here. If you would like to lift someone up in prayer, and then send them a card and let them know that somebody cared enough to lift them up in prayer. Make this a special time where we seek God's face together and know that his mercy endures forever. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Broken for you, and the blood of Christ shall be.
gave you the body of Christ broken for you.
Table of which we will never hunger again. We have drunk the wine of which we will never thirst again. For you are the only living and true God, one who gave himself for his subjects, one who, because of his covenantal love, refused to call us servants, but told us we were friends. What a friend we have in this Lord who loves us all. We thank you, we praise you, we uphold your holy name, and may we show others the love of our gracious Father. We ask all these things in your holy name. Amen. I would ask you to stand and sing. Our final hymn is a hymn that will remind us all that when he said, "It is finished," he meant it completely for all time. All we do is say thank you. So let us stand and sing, "Jesus Paid It All." Kitchen, somewhere that this week in particular reminds you
We have extras. If you know of someone you would like to take the cross to, please take them until they're gone, for this is our strength. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.